Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
And welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It is the 6th of March, year of our Lord, 2024. That is, like, if I was running for office, I'd just run that quote. And about all the stuff we're going to play today, I just run it over. I wouldn't say a fucking word, I just run it. Because those people actually believe this shit. But today, 2024, in 2016, on March 6th, was my very first podcast with this, with a phone like this. I've had like over 40 phones since there. It's like everybody else, you don't have a phone that lasts over about 3 years that doesn't work anymore? Yeah, that's mine too. So, and I got a beard done. Yeah, mama wanted the beard. Anniversary's coming up, so if I want any kisses, I'm going to have to shave the beard, so I did. So, let's get on into the podcast. We're going to play, I'm just going to play these straight up because I think they're really good to watch. PBS saying you should not demonize or criminalize or make a villain out of illegals who killed people. 60 Minutes, a guy actually talks about how many chats he had with Biden. Biden talking about the border. And that Cabbage Patch lady literally saying some gibberish about Lincoln Riley's death. That does matter to Joe Public.
And to help put some context around these questions around immigration and crime, I'm joined now by Sharis Kubrin. She's a professor of criminology, law, and society at the University of California, Irvine, and co-author of the book, Immigration and Crime, Taking Stock. Professor, let's begin with the obvious here. Our thoughts are obviously with the family of Lincoln Riley and her friends. This is a senseless loss of a young woman's life. Authorities also today just revealed her death was due to blunt force trauma. And the man we know accused here is an undocumented immigrant. Those are all facts. What do you make of the larger conversation around those facts right now?
When I heard about this tragic event, my heart went out immediately. That is, of course, the first reaction I had. But the second one is, uh-oh, I hope that this is not used as, this awful event is not used for political advantage. And
the state of Texas and the federal government are in a standoff at the border, 60 Minutes reports.
The idea there's no such thing as climate change, I love that, man. I love some of my Neanderthal friends who still think there's no climate change.
Again, I mean, this is a horrific, horrific loss for any family. And obviously, if whoever is found guilty, we need to make sure that that happens. And obviously, we don't want to see anything happen like that again. But here's the thing: we have done the work to make sure we're dealing with a broken immigration system. The Republicans have gotten in the way. They have gotten in the way. And that's what we continue to see over and over and over again. And so, look, this is a serious matter.
Very nicely done. Way not to give a fuck about your country, the border, people getting murdered because of your policies. Oh, that's just so heartwarming. It's so heartwarming. Heartwarming. Yeah. Okay, so let's get down to business. That she was on CNN, of course, when she said that. New Democrat talking point are live. The Biden White House is now referring to millions of illegal aliens as newcomers. Oh, newcomers. Well, that just takes the sting right out of it, doesn't it? Very nicely done. Very, very nicely done. We can wordsmith the fuck out of shit and try to make it right, but in the end, this is all our media did with this whole fucking soiree. It's a Republican pounce story. Fact checking. The truth about illegal immigration and crime. Here's the reality. He gets nuked on this because we all know we don't even cover it. People don't literally cover it. They don't keep track of it. They blow it off. NBC News did the same fucking thing. Trump claims migrant crime wave are not supported by national data. NBC News review of available 2024 crime statistics shows overall crime levels dropping in cities that have received the most immigrants. You know why? Because you fucking can't track it. It's racist and shit. New York Mag. For New York Mag, I wrote about the murder of Lake and Riley here in Athens, how the community is mourning, got dragged into yet another election year culture war, and how the issue here isn't illegal immigration, but male violence. Fuck the patriarchy. Really? If that's the case, why is the Biden administration asking sanctuary cities to work with ICE all of a sudden? If they know it's not a fucking big deal, why in the name of Zeus's ass crack are they fucking asking that? And that bite with Biden, climate change. They want to try to... Intersectionality makes them clue in every fucking thing. Racism, patriarchy, climate change, this, that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's fucking comedic, man. It's comedic. 320,000 illegal immigrants have been secretly flown by the Biden administration using government monies, which is an actual crime. It's not me making it up. It's not a mega talking point. It's not a xenophobic, racist, homophobic, transphobic, sexist, ableist, ageist. It's just a fact. You can't. There's a law. That's how they get the fucking coyotes. American people driving them around. That's breaking the law. He used federal aircraft. He used military aircraft. C-130s. That's illegal. You can't do that. I never thought I'd see a day like this. I gotta be quite honest. Never thought I'd see a day like this. But it's not stopping. It'll never stop. Here are two sound bites. Gonna be putting right together. One is Mika Brzezinski talking about that white rage shit again. It's all about the white rage. And then the Politico reporter. We covered briefly, but she done pissed off some Christian groups.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Tom Schaller, and journalist and opinion writer Paul Waldman. Their new book, out tomorrow, is entitled White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, I'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They are the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors about this demographic. Tom, what else do they have in common?
I think that the
what really matters,
I mean,
at this point in
time. What makes them vulnerable?
Oh, well, a lot of that has to do with, as a starting point, the problems that rural America has, which are very real and very profound. Mm-hmm. They have the more problematic education systems. They have poor infrastructure. They've had a lack of economic opportunity. We've seen a lot of manufacturing jobs leave from rural areas. And that kind of left them open to someone like Donald Trump, who would come along and tell them something that was true, that there is a system that has not served them well. Mm-hmm. And he said...
They're pissed off.
They are pissed off, and they have some reason to be. Mm-hmm. With both parties, The trouble is that what Donald Trump gave them was not something that was actually going to fix those problems, but was just a kind of a way to channel their rage and anger. And, you know, we've been told for so long, especially Democrats have been told, that in order to get rural voters, to get them to listen to you, you have to go there, you have to really empathize with them, you have to show them that you understand their lives, you have to, you know, put on a Carhartt jacket and go down to somebody's farm.
Have a beer.
And milk a cow.
Yes.
And it turned out that none of that was true.
No.
When Donald Trump came along, he didn't do any of that stuff. He was just a conduit for their rage, their anger, their resentment. And that turned out to be what they wanted. And it wasn't really about the material conditions of their lives, because he didn't improve their lives. But he got more support in rural areas in 2020 than he had in 2016, despite the fact that none of their problems had gotten any better under him. All that he gave them was a way to essentially give a big middle finger to Democrats, to people who live in cities, and to the rest of the country.
Isn't he more?
How do members react to that? How are they responding to this real strong infusion of Christian nationalism into the body politic of the House?
I've talked with a lot of experts on this, and I've seen it myself with my reporting, Michael, which is that the base of the Republican Party has shifted, right? Remember when Trump ran in 2016, a lot of the mainline evangelicals wanted nothing to do with the divorced, real estate mogul who had cheated on his wife and with a porn star and all of that, right? So what happened was he was surrounded by this more extremist element. You're going to hear words like Christian nationalism, like the new apostolic reformation. These are groups that you should get very schooled on, because they have a lot of power in Trump's circle. And the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining men are determining what God is telling them. And in the past, that so-called natural law is, you know, it's a pillar of Catholicism. Catholicism, for instance, has been used for good in social justice campaigns. Right. Martin Luther King evoked it in talking about civil rights. But now you have an extremist element of conservative Christians who say that this applies specifically to issues including abortion.
White rage in rural areas. How about we're just sick of you fuckheads doing all this bullshit? We came out here to be left the fuck alone, but then Obama said that it was racist to live in the country, so they put Section 8 housing in our areas and we started getting more crime. Not because it's black people, it's because it's poor people. Poor people steal. I was a poor person. I am a poor person. The only thing that stops me from stealing, I wouldn't be good at crime. So I don't. And the political thing, just continually dogging Christians is your plan. I don't see you winning. She says clumsy wording and plays it off like it's not even that big deal. It's like, oh, fuck it. You'll get over it. Roll around. Fire go out. But the reality is, if it isn't Christian white conservatives, it's Christian nationalists, it's white rage. They always have a reason for why their policies aren't being accepted by the American people. It is never them, because they know better than you. What the fuck do you know? It started with Obama. He's smarter, better looking. He can speak well. Everybody bought it. But then all the lackeys and follow-ons, we know better than you. You shut your fucking mouth and just do what we say, white person. It's not how you run a fucking country. Reality is, 70% of this goddamn country is white, whether we want to agree with it or not. The whole concept that we're all going to be taken over by illegal aliens, well, that's if you counted them all. If you counted them all now, you have 30 to 40 million illegals in our country. They would most likely start outweighing black people. They wouldn't be a minority. But we don't track the crime. We don't even track them. We catch and fucking release. Then you get this. Nets yawn as federal court insane move to hold Catherine Herridge in contempt. Solwell screws a Chinese spy. Herridge exposes a Chinese spy. This is Joe Biden's America. Good on CNN this morning and Casey Hunt. Even though it was only 13 seconds, this was the only mention on broadcast or cable news, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and FNC. Yay. Good job, everybody. Pat yourself on the back. That's huge shit, all right? That's huge. They took her crap to protect Biden. And if we're not stopping people from showing stuff, well, then we have the fear complex. Here's the whole fucking complex of fear. We're going to have intricate, fast-moving threats that will make sure Trump doesn't win. But we'll call it threats. I mean, if you're not stupid enough to believe these people, you know somebody's stealing this election. And it's usually the party in power. And I will bet you a dollar cow's ass, we'll keep this podcast. He gonna get more voice than he had last time, and that's fucking impossible. There's gonna be two things gonna come out. Their plan's gonna work, and they'll have like 82 million for Joe. Or it's not gonna work, and they're gonna be fucked. That voting is gonna come down. The media's got to say, well, why did we go from 81 for Biden and 67 for Trump to 68 for Biden or Trump and 67 for the other fucker? It'll be COVID made people stay home, so they voted. That'll be the answer. Fucking jackasses. Washington Post says, stop being upset about shoplifting. We stole American land. Jesus fucking Christ. Are you serious? So that's going to be the reason for everything? So I can just go steal shit. If that's the case, I'll be great, man. I'm going to go steal fucking rifles. I'm going to steal fucking cars. I'm going to turn into fucking Soup. Soup and what the fuck is his name? I don't know. I've been watching him a lot on YouTube. Just funny as fuck. Two rednecks with mullets. Oh, God damn, they kill me. The thing is, we see everything. We're not stupid. The left thinks we are, and we think we can't use Google because they have Google in their pocket, and you got to go backwards to fucking try to figure out how to fucking get around the goddamn search algorithms, and you'll find shit. But when SNL mocks an administration for their lies, you know you've lost the thread, brah.
We are now joined live by Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas.
Thanks for having me, Dana. Man, I am exhausted. I was with Joe Biden for the past weekend, and whew, he wiped me out.
Okay, so you feel he's up to the job.
Dana, I was just with him, and behind closed doors, he's a dynamo. This weekend, we both went down to the border town of Brownsville, Texas, and Joe went into beast mode. He said, we gotta tighten this border. Look how easy I can cross it. Then he parkoured up to the top of the border wall. He front-flipped into the Rio Grande and came back up with a fish in his mouth. But you didn't report that because it doesn't fit your little narrative.
Well, with all due respect, it doesn't fit reality.
Oh, please, Dana. We were all just with him. If you don't believe us, just ask a good friend of mine, one of the NBA's fiercest players, Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green.
Let's go live to San Francisco. Hello, Mr. Green.
Yeah, what's up, Dana? Are we talking about Joe Biden? Because he got that dog in him.
You've met the president.
I was just with him, and behind closed doors, he is strong. Joe got that grandpa monkey strength, and he can jump. That man could jump so high that I saw him grab a dollar off the top of the backboard and leave some change. Also, did you know he dunked on me?
He dunked on you?
Yeah, it was disrespectful, too. He windmilled in my face, and he talked about, yeah, next time, young blood. And I wasn't having it, so I tried to punch him in the nuts, and I broke three fingers. Yeah, you can't mess with Joe, man.
Governor, I have to say, we all know the stakes here. You don't have to exaggerate to make voters feel better.
I'm not. What we are saying about Biden is true. You want to call him? Let's FaceTime him. I'll bet he's probably just right in the middle of the bike ride. All right, can you put my phone up on the screen?
Hey, all right! It's Gavin Newsom!
Mr. President?
Hey, hold on. I'm just gonna turn up the volume. Just gotta find a button. There we go.
Well, looks like he hung up.
Yeah, that's pretty much spot on, isn't it? I mean, they literally are allowed to because most of the media run with it. There's nothing wrong with Joe. Joe is so fit. Joe is so great. So since the border's a clusterfuck, everything isn't working. I used to do the media jerk off, but I'm not going to do it. This is just the media this week. Just this week, I picked a few sound bites on them saying he is the greatest thing ever.
President Biden was in Brownsville, Texas, where he issued a political dare to Donald Trump to join him in pressing House Republicans to help secure the border by passing the Senate's bipartisan security bill. Now, 325 miles away, Trump was in Eagle Pass, where he took a much different approach, unleashing attacks on Biden, Democrats, and migrants, but not proposing a legislative solution.
Trump, who visited Eagle Pass more than 300 miles away, continued exploiting a crisis that he couldn't solve either, hoping it'll put him back in the White House. Today, he sought to falsely connect President Biden to the recent murder of a Georgia nursing student by a Venezuelan migrant who entered the country illegally in 2022.
These migrants are taking their first perilous steps on U.S. soil as they navigate a steep and rocky maze along California's southern border. This entire region saw nearly 25,000 illegal crossings in January alone from countries around the world.
So this woman is from Brazil. She just came down the ridge here.
Taleb Ali is from Mauritania in Africa. He's seeking asylum after leaving behind a wife, infant son, and a nursing career.
So right now, a lot of Americans would say, you shouldn't be here. Neither the wall nor this rugged, punishing terrain is enough to stop the determination of these asylum seekers. This is what policymakers and border officials are up against.
President Biden traveling to Brownsville, Texas, urging Republicans to reconsider that bipartisan Senate border. President Biden undergoing his annual physical amid this presidential election year where age has become an issue for some voters. Selena, the president's doctor, saying he is, quote, fit for duty.
That's right, David. The president's doctor giving him a clean bill of health, saying today's exam found no new concerns. He calls the president a healthy, active, robust 81-year-old male who remains fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency. Now, today's exam did not include a mental fitness test. The White House saying the president's doctors have determined he doesn't need one. And today, the White House telling me that the president proves his cognitive abilities every single day by doing his job.
And we are learning new details tonight from President Biden's annual physical. The commander-in-chief's doctor says the 81-year-old is, quote, fit for duty. The report said the oldest president to hold office is healthy, active, robust, and occasionally coughs due to acid reflux. It said his stiffened gait was the result of arthritis, a previously broken foot, and neuropathy in his feet.
In a letter released by the White House late today, his doctor saying he is fit for duty without any exemptions or accommodations, noting he is receiving new treatment for obstructive sleep apnea and recently had a root canal. The president was asked about his medical visit today.
His doctor says the president is fit to serve. He found no new health concerns over the last year. He did say that the president is, quote, a healthy, active, robust 81-year-old. The annual exam did not, however, include a mental fitness test. His doctors didn't think it was necessary, and the White House argues the president passes a cognitive test every day just by doing his job.
President Biden.
Well, the Supreme Court won't hear oral arguments until the end of April. Now, I just, you know, let's look at a scenario where the Supreme Court says, yes, he has that. He has all those rights. He is immune from everything.
Yeah.
You know what Joe Biden could do since he is presently president?
What?
Whoa. He could throw every Republican in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could. I mean, no. This is not
because
a good thing. He could do anything.
Yeah.
He could dismiss everybody's debt.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of great stuff that could happen, but let's really look at what this means.
Yeah. So they're basically kicking the can down the road, though. They're not taking up this case immediately.
Right.
So what's their motivation then? If we all know that they can't do what you just said because of the extreme power that a president would have, what is their motivation for not doing it right away?
Well, unfortunately, some people are saying the motivation is that there are certain conservative justices that have been appointed by Trump that want to help him. And because we know the end result is...
And of course, gotta have a Rachel Maddow. I got a couple in a second, but this one was extra special. It'll close this and go into the SCOTUS ruling because 9-0. You couldn't tell it was 9-0 by the media's response.
Some of our greatest strengths can also be our Achilles heel. So, for example, our deep commitment to free speech in our First Amendment. It is a cherished right. It is an important right in democracy, and nobody wants to get rid of it. But it makes us vulnerable to claims that anything we try to do to regulate speech is censorship. Of course, the Supreme Court has held that all fundamental rights, even the right to free speech, can be limited as long as there is a compelling governmental interest and the restriction is narrowly tailored to achieve that interest. But I think anytime someone tries to do anything that might limit free speech, people claim censorship. I mean, just look at the case the Supreme Court heard today about efforts by the states of Florida and Texas to prevent social media companies from moderating content online. And they call it censorship, that they are trying to silence conservative voices. Of course, social media companies are private actors who are not bound by the First Amendment. And so we need to have a conversation and common sense solutions to these things. Instead, we throw out terms like censorship, we call each other names, we use labels.
We begin with the Supreme Court agreeing to hear Donald Trump's claim that he is immune to prosecution on federal charges of attempting to overturn the 2020 election. That puts his trial on hold, serving the former president's strategy of pushing his trials past the presidential election.
In deciding to take up the issue of presidential immunity, the Supreme Court has effectively delayed the most far-reaching criminal case against Donald Trump.
The delay is already something of a Trump victory, raising the real possibility that the trial could be pushed back until after the presidential election.
With this delay, even if the trial is able to happen before the election, it would likely take place against the backdrop of the political conventions later in the summer or in the heat of the fall campaign, possibly, George, after voters in several states have already started casting their ballots.
Ultimately, this question of immunity is not likely to be a close call. They're going to rule against Donald Trump there, so why take it?
This really is all about the clock. I mean, this always has always been about the clock. And now this is a really big win for Donald Trump. Practically, there is absolutely no way the judge is going to schedule the trial for after the election.
What does he...
There are a lot of Americans out there, their blood is boiling over what Donald Trump did on January 6th, what he did leading up to January 6th. And they just think that he's just getting let off the hook scot-free left and right. It sounds like what we were talking about in anticipation of this decision, that they were going to find an off-ramp to not deal with the prickly question as to whether or not Trump committed insurrection and should be kicked off the ballot because of that. Jim, what do you say to all those Americans out there who are watching this, who are frustrated and say, you know, Trump is getting away with breaking the law, that he files appeal after appeal, he tries to delay every proceeding that's brought against him in a way that is just, it just goes against what our judicial system should be about. I mean, isn't he treated differently than just about everybody else in this country? I mean, just about anybody else would not have the ability to appeal things until kingdom come.
We are not only facing, as you said, a domestic authoritarian threat from Donald Trump and people who want to see this a dictatorship next year, but at the same time, he is connecting with dictators abroad, Viktor Orban, Putin, perhaps the leader of Turkey, possibly elements in China and elsewhere. These people are going to lock arms. And, you know, I'm only responsible for the past, not the future. But, you know, given all this, if these hostile governments would like to see Trump elected, take a look at October 2024. The chances that they're not going to make a big effort to make trouble and chaos to make Joe Biden look bad. Yeah. I think those chances are very large.
I wonder in what ways you expect the State of the Union address we're going to hear from President Biden on Thursday. Yes, he will take credit for the things that his administration has done. To what extent will he also be creating a contrast with Donald Trump?
He has to, and that's what Roosevelt did in 41. He said, this is not a normal year. You know, Americans have to make a choice. We have to choose essentially between freedom and democracy, mm-hmm. or worldwide slavery and dictatorship. Any other year, that would be an overstatement. You know, when people running for office in this country for president say the most important American election in history, usually it's not. It's over tax cuts or something. This year, it could have to do whether people literally end up going to prison by the threat of Donald Trump, who has threatened to use our police and our military forces to go after his political enemies.
Michael, help us if you can. What is it about people in their move towards this type of a leader? I mean, I put it in terms of, are you really that desperate? That you're going to sacrifice your own personal freedoms, thinking that this guy who's telling you he's going to be a dictator for a day, right. Okay?
Because no dictator is ever a dictator.
That's happened
just
a lot
a
in history where right. God takes all the power right. and goes, you know what? Here, have it back
don't
in 24
that,
hours.
Don't believe anything.
Why do people? Why are people sort of susceptible to believing that, and moving into that space?
Once again, well done. Well done, media. That was some good shit right there, man. You went all the fuck in. All in for Biden. And never did they say, hey, it's 9-0, man. Hey, this isn't fucking rocket scientist. What the fucking fuck with the fuck? I gotta get through that shit. Okay, we're here. So MSNBC, I don't even think they remotely understand what their job is anymore. I don't think they have a fucking clue. People talk about Fox. They're bad. I mean, my wife watches it every morning, and I'm gonna tell you right now, that morning show, I'd rather take this and stick it up my butt sideways than watch those jackasses talk every morning. They're fucking morons. All three of them are morons. I don't understand what the fuck. Why are they on? I like the black dude. I don't remember his name. The young guy. I like him. Brian Kilmeade. And Jesus Christ on a popsicle stick. You're fucking killing me. So, of course, NBC, MSDNC, brought out the actual person. So I'm going to play that with Kenneth Dillion, who, once again, is supposed to be a journalist. I don't know where you're supposed to be a journalist. And then Rachel Maddow one more time. I just want to put this together on my soapbox. This is the ultimate. I don't know why I'm yelling. It's because I got two earbuds in. I shouldn't. And I get too fucking loud. Sorry about that. But this is the ultimate clusterfuckia you can have. All of these people do not deserve to be. They shouldn't be doing the jobs they're doing. Because they are nothing but fucking cucks for the Democratic Party.
We've learned that it was a 9-0 decision ruling that Donald Trump can be on the ballot in Colorado and other states.
I'm not confident that that will produce a result that's good for American democracy.
This is actually what I had been concerned about. I had been concerned that should it go to the Supreme Court, they would rule this way.
I'd laugh if it weren't so sad.
My next guest says Donald Trump is still an oath-breaking insurrectionist. Do you have confidence in the Supreme Court? Do you think this court is partisan?
The court itself may have overstepped.
The court went way further than it needed to go.
Our colleague Melissa Murray has called this Supreme Court the YOLO court.
The criticism of the court is that they're playing interference.
Not since Bush v. Gore have we seen a court that's had this many opportunities to interfere in the election.
The headline here is this is a unanimous ruling, but if you scratch the surface just a little.
This is a 5-4 ruling on part of it.
This is actually a 5-4 decision.
It's 5-4.
Trump will take this, spin it, spread the misinformation, disinformation on it, so it's a win for them.
He's on the ballot, and voters will vote, and he looks like he's headed to become the Republican nominee for president.
You can't save a people from themselves. If they're determined to reelect him after he organized that insurrection, then there's nothing to stop the people.
My next guest says Donald Trump is still an oath-breaking insurrectionist. Joining me now is Colorado's elected Secretary of State, Democrat Jenna Griswold, who urged the Supreme Court to keep Donald Trump off her state's ballot. Madam Secretary, thank you for being with us. Give me more of your reaction to today.
Thanks for having me on. First and foremost, I would say it's good that the court issued a decision. Americans have been voting all across the nation in early voting in those Super Tuesday states, including here in Colorado. And Coloradans and Americans deserve to know whether Trump is a qualified candidate. My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able under our Constitution to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American vote.
Is really presidential immunity an open question? Because what's the most famous pardon in American history? Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon once he had resigned and was a former president. Why did Gerald Ford pardon Richard Nixon? Quote, as a result of certain acts or omissions occurring before his resignation as president, meaning as a result of stuff he did while president, quote, Richard Nixon has become liable to possible indictment and trial.
Right.
Whether or not he shall be so prosecuted depends on findings of the appropriate grand jury and the discretion of the authorized prosecutor. So the idea that this is an open question, that it might be that a former president can never be tried for something that he did because he was president when he did it, is disproven by a plain reading of American history and the whole justification for Richard Nixon being pardoned in the first place. So the idea that this has to be taken up is them saying the sky is green.
Right.
And I think even for the non-lawyers among us to be able to say, you know what, the sky is not green even on our worst day, this is BS. You are doing this as a dilatory tactic to help your political friend, your partisan patron. And for you to say that this is something that the court needs to decide because it's something that's unclear in the law is just flagrant, flagrant.
So Raskin's and company, they want to push through a bill that allows Congress just to say, as Democrats, we say that person's bad, so they can't run for office. They have stuff in many states. They want to take 100. Anybody who didn't vote to impeach him, they want them not to be able to run for office. But once again, it's the right that's fascist. Not the left, the right. Ginny Thomas was directly involved in the effort to overturn the 2020 election. Her consulting firm also stands to gain if Trump is reelected, yet Claire Thomas didn't recuse himself. How is this not a scandal of epic proportion? Everybody says, well, what about Biden, dickface? The fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. So here are some of the good lefty ones. They cried. They cried. They cried hard. This is Carrie. For all you mega morons doing the whole 9-0 Trump wants the liberals a mad trend, we Democrats don't really care if he's on the ballot or not. Either way, we're just going to kick his and your asses again in November. And those are the facts, bitches. But states' rights. That's Luke Zukoski. Harry Sisson. Paid fucking influencer. Insurrection sympathizer Clarence Thomas. Shut the fuck up. Heath Mayo, congressman, for Section 3 now and passed a law that says all persons who engage in insurrection. The problem is nobody did. The Supreme Court made it virtually impossible to keep an insurrectionist president candidate off the ballot. Yes, it did, because you got to... What it is an insurrection was never fucking narrowed down. It was just to keep Confederates for running for office. Anybody who was not going to come on board and say, yeah, I'm part of the United States, yada, 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 they could be killed off. Breaking, Supreme Court Rule 9-0 can rain on the Colorado ballot, lose in November as planned. Keith Olbermann cried great tears. He even said something to somebody about pissing in his own eyes. I don't fucking know what that means, but yeah, I'm not going to read it. Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Members including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor have proven themselves inept in reading comprehension. And collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. That, once again, is what I like to call fucking sexist. Is SCOTUS delivery creating a legal pathway to let Trump be president? for life. Dun, dun, dun. What do I got? I got something over here. Oh, that wasn't it. I don't know what that is.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. I haven't played this one yet. Woohoo. There's a lot of shit on here.
I love it. You guys are so great.
All right, I played my thing for enough. All right, sorry. Folks, you're the ones that want a democracy for life. It's you. It's not the right. It's never been the right. The left always tries to fucking say they're the only people that can run the fucking country, and if we don't have them in the office, we'll never be able to run the country. Those are the things they say, and just you don't hear it from the right. I say this on our show. If you stumbled on this podcast, I am not a righty. I'm not a lefty. I don't do Omega. I don't do with her, for her, hope it changey, build better, any fucking cliche bullshit. They're all fucking pieces of shit. Everybody, they got a D, an R, an I. They're all pieces of shit. They go in office to make money and get a golden parachute. All those fucks get goddamn, I have to pay $40 a session for therapy caused by them. $40. You can guarantee they're not paying $40 copay. They don't have copays. So they're all in it for the fucking goddamn money. It's the wrong one. Where is it? Din Din. What is it? No. No. There we go. Okay, Din Din is what I need to mark that fucking thing. SCOTUS ruled Reddit lies. Colorado can't remove Trump from the ballot, so now Reddit accuses the entire SCOTUS of being traitors and calls for their execution. That's fucking fantastic. I'm not going to read anymore. These fucking people are garbage. Drew Holden is our next contestant on The Price is Fucking Wrong for the left. What happened to the media legal experts saying that this is all going to happen? And he goes through and shows a million, I'm not going to do it. Just over and over, it's a shut case, he's a piece of shit, blah, 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 blah. Ken Dillians, this is another example among many that are playing out right now, the Supreme Court playing a huge role in American elections. And it's not necessarily the case that it's a good thing for the Supreme Court. The approval levels of the court poll at, sorry, I should have clicked the thing, it's too big. Historic lows, going to be seen by many people as the court essentially interfering in some. This is a fucking lawsuit essentially interfering with sense of election. And so this is a sort of playing out their terms, how we assess the Supreme Court. What? What? They actually, oh, fuck me goddamn running. Hold the fucking horse. Hold the horse. Everybody holding their horses? Hold it. This went out on NBC. Fuck me running. You gotta be, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
You know, some of the polling, when you ask the voters about whether a conviction here would make a difference in their vote, shows that, yes, that is something that could make their vote if Trump were criminally convicted as it relates to election interference in the 2020 election. Congresswoman Edwards, we're still months away, though, from the court hearing the decision and then ultimately making their ruling on the immunity claim brought by Trump. Oral arguments obviously already set. April 22nd, so about 6 weeks away. How big of an effect do you think the Supreme Court will have on the general election? This court having an influence on the 2024 election?
Well, I think this court is exactly where it doesn't want to be and doesn't need to be, and that is right in the middle of an election. Not since Bush v. Gore have we seen a court that's had this many opportunities to interfere in the election going forward. Look, that said, I think that this...
Are you fucking kidding me? Obama not only interfered in the 16, they did it in 20. They have the internet locked down. Every media source pushing one direction. Interfering with an election? Are you fucking kidding me? There are 9 cases against Trump. That's interfering with an election. The The Constitution was just bad, was in fact written partially to strengthen the federal government in the wake of a populist insurrectionary activity that was good in the states. Somebody says, I'm so sorry the Constitution is happening to you. So here's a quick bump of Biden just being Biden.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine.
When the president said we were airdropping to Ukraine twice, he meant Gaza, correct? He just misspoke.
He was referring to Gaza.
Oh, you knew he was talking about Palestine. No, we didn't. He does this all the fucking time. It's not like a once off. This is what he does. He says random fucking shit. Then he says he's going to Biden to rein in Chinese data buying, but they're still on TikTok. So let's do the math on that. If you're still on TikTok, God. Despite his age, Joe Biden is almost certainly the strongest possible candidate Democrats can field against Donald Trump in 2024. That is Joe fucking Scarborough. People are just laughing at his face. You should be very proud of yourself. What a bankrupt party the Democrats are. That's the best you got? Really? Nobody should say that about either one of these fucks. Axios. Biden's new campaign strategy, go for the juggler. What? When have you not? You've nonstop dogged him since day one. And then we have this amazing soundbite. Did I already get it? Cancel. Yes. About it's the Republicans' fault. CNN lends credence to Hunter conspiracy theory. GOP goading him to use drugs.
But he actually, in a rare interview with Axios on Monday, said the following, which really struck us. He said, I've always been in awe of people who have stayed clean and sober through tragedies and obstacles few people ever face. I have something much bigger than even myself at stake. We are in the middle of a fight for the future of democracy. This is kind of more of the human element of what we're talking about here. Yeah. It's very personal. He is very open about the fact that he is an addict. He was very much off the wagon when a lot of this happened. And part of what he is trying to do, he's saying here, is stay clean for himself, for his family, for his father, and he believes for politics, which is democracy.
Yeah, and he's also insinuating there that he knows that this is also inherently political as well. Donald Trump, every single campaign stump speech he gives, the words come out of his mouth, Joe Biden, the most corrupt president in history. And so this is part of the strategy of trying to convince voters that that is true.
You know, look, I think with Hunter Biden, and one of the key parts of this has been, you know, Jill Biden and her role in trying to keep Hunter close. And, you know, you see all these stories about why is Hunter showing up at these events at the White House? Why isn't the president pushing him away? I think part of the thing has been about this very personal, familial, tragedy that they've been.
So we're going to also go J6. Liberals need 1-6 to be some momentous event because it gives them purpose and vindication. In a rare interview, top Biden advisor Mike Donilon explains their theory of the case. By November, he predicts the focus will be overwhelmingly on democracy. I think the biggest image in the people's mind are going to be January 6th. And they think that's going to win. Think about this profile is that Team Biden clearly thinks what it's doing is working, which may be, but I doubt many of them would have expected to be trailing Trump right now. What evidence there is strategies working? Are they delusional? Voters' perception of economy, not approved, nor is inflation. You're shitting in your own cornflakes. You're just shitting in cornflakes. I don't know what that means, but that's what you're doing. Because that's stupid. Because you decided to arrest investigative journalist TPC4USA has now been taken to FBI custody for reporting on J6. I'm wondering where the rest of the media is. I mean, what the actual fuck, yo? What is that? So Rolling Stone has an exclusive. Under Donald Trump, the White House medical unit was like the Wild West. The place was awash in speed and Xanax, and senior and mid-level staffers had easy access to powerful stimulants and sedatives. If you ever looked at the action and behavior of the Trump White House and wondered, are they on drugs? The answer was yes. Can't confirm that. However, want to chat about the Clinton White House medical unit? How about the fucking cocaine, dickheads? Michael Moore informs Jewish people their enemy isn't Palestinians, it's white European Christians. He said this after they had a complete fucking meltdown about Michigan, which is becoming a huge problem. You can hear a hot mic gasping of the amount of undecided voters or uncommitted. And then The View losing their shit over.
This is what Joe Biden received. Again, forgive me, 1,141 votes. Dean Phillips, 54 votes. An uncommitted, make sure I get this right, 3,703 votes. So that's a wow. If you look at it this way, this is 23%. And this is 75%. And so this is just the city of Dearborn, but that is where the biggest pocket of the Muslim.
I want to take a rare moment to defend Joe Biden on this. There was a ceasefire, to your point, on October, but I don't defend
he
Joe
doesn't
Biden.
Defend.
There was a ceasefire. Since the terrorist attack against Israelis, Joe Biden has been working every single day to first get hostages released and then get a ceasefire. His National Security Council, his State Department, this notion that he's sitting on his hands and doesn't understand that there's carnage on both sides is absurd. And I have to say, again, we're going to agree today. Donald Trump is not an alternative for the Arab American community. They're talking about bringing back the Muslim ban. It is an absolute absurdity.
That's right.
And there were voters I saw interviewed last night who said, I'd be willing to support Trump over him or I'm not going to turn out. Biden needs to do is not reverse policy here. He needs to communicate to these people. We see you. We hear you. We are calling on the Israelis to have as few
didn't
civilian
just,
casualties
didn't he just
as possible.
Say, sorry, go ahead.
He just did say that he was working towards a ceasefire. Blinken has indicated that hopefully this ceasefire is going to happen next week. And I think he heard these people.
He's been hearing these people.
And I think there will be a change in policy. But at the moment, what these voters, these single issue voters, which there are women that vote single issue, there are even
the raw anger. CNN's laying off more people on the verge of epic collapse. Because all they do is push lefty stuff. I want you to go back to just a couple years ago when everything Trump did, Republicans were forced to talk to Maju Raju from CNN or some other fucking little troll who would then lecture them, what do you think about Trump sticking a fucking garden hose up his ass or some rare fucking total clicked, dicked up fucking quote. That was usually him misspeaking because he does it all the time because he just rattles off shit. They were all holding the powerful accountable. It's democracy. But this happened to AOC and I didn't see this fucking shit anywhere.
You refuse to call it a genocide.
I need you to understand.
Over and over again. It's fucked up, man. And you're not helping these people. And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
Hey, Sandy, these are your rules. You do this to people all the time. Your side is all down with this. Why aren't the media beating the shit out of you for not speaking to journalists? And protesters, it's the most important thing. We had BLM protesters beating up Republicans, and that was democracy, you said, while you were being raped 5 miles away from where everything was going now. Yeah. So, going to go straight into our woke section. Even Olivia Rodrigo's kid, Rodriguez, I don't know what her name is. Olivia, I heard her song. I don't like it. She's in trouble because she's like giving money to abortion.
Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
Why was it important for you to make a statement on Roe v. Wade at Glastonbury?
Yeah, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade the day before I was supposed to perform at Glastonbury, and I just think forcing women to give birth is really horrifying.
You want to know what is actually horrifying, Olivia? Ripping babies apart while they're alive, limb by limb, or starving them of their vital nutrients and then flushing them down the toilet. When a woman has an abortion, she is still forced to give birth to a baby, but that baby is dead. And abortion does not benefit or empower women. It oppresses women. So many celebrities in Hollywood talk about this issue not because they actually care about women, but because they are so out of touch from reality and just want to capitalize off of this heartbreaking issue for views and for likes. Let's stop spewing these lies and propaganda that are repeatedly backed by the media for clicks and for views. There is real support out there for women, and women and their children deserve better than abortion.
That's some bogus shit right there, brah. Brah, that ain't good, brah. Hey, brah. What up, brah? I don't know. I'm saying brah. Yeah, it's a big fucking deal because there are people that are like, what the hell? And portion of the proceeds ticket sales fund for good. A portion of the proceeds of these tickets. Let's save the image and bring it up there and put it on. So it's just not some bullshit. It's some real shit. But damn. But doom. There you go. That's for good. Now, I think it has something to do with their feud with Taylor Swift. So I think what's happening is Taylor Swift's not doing anything, so she's doing anything. And I read on this before. I didn't know anything about this Rodrigo girl. But there was a whole bunch of news about her and abortion. And in it was an article about those two got in a fight. Taylor Swift was cool with her, and then she started getting good sales, and Taylor Swift hated her, or I don't fucking know. It was a bunch of he said, she said stuff. But that's what I found first, not, hey, she's donating money for abortions and shit. That wasn't there. Jeopardy decided to get into the woke stupid and use Zemzel fucking shit. Got a little backlash, which you're going to get. You're going to get if you act stupid. You play fuck around, you get to find out. Monster Liberty went on 60 Minutes, and I think I fucking love these ladies because they're not politicians. I'm sure somebody's working with them, just like the kids from Stoneman Douglas got worked with by CNN and all those people. This is some good shit. They brought the receipts because it's the same liberal lie. We're banning books. We're not banning books. We're banning books with pornography.
There were more than 3,000 book bans in public schools last year, 1,000 more than the year before. We went to one conservative southern town to hear how they're turning the page.
Parents have the right to determine what their children are taught and what they're allowed to read. But what we're having a problem with is parents that want to determine what other parents' rights are for their children to read what they want.
Reality is, most people don't give a flying fuck about this transgender stuff, but we do care that it's being forced on kids. Young women are 80% of the new transgender crowd. That's scary, folks. Young girls are more susceptible to this kind of stuff because they're bullied worse than boys. Boys at least eventually get a punch back. I was one. Bruises all over my body until fourth grade until I finally beat the fucker up and nobody messed with me anymore. Girls go through puberty and they have a hard time. They're supposed to look like a supermodel and they don't. They're supposed to have big fake tits that don't move because most of the people they're looking at have fake breasts. It is a bigger task than male puberty. How do I know that? I had a daughter. Watched it. My son went through it a lot easier. My daughter had a fucking hell of a time, went goth, straight edge. She would have gone to Jonesboro and drank the fucking Kool-Aid. She was just trying to find herself. She's now 38. No. 34? 36. And I don't keep up with her because she doesn't talk to us. And she's still trying to find out who the fuck she is. And am I just pulling this out of my ass? Or they're forcing it? But damn. Here's Billboard Chris. Child Protective Service should all be over this, but these agencies, which are supposed to protect kids from abusers like this mom, were simply from the delusion that one who knows better are too cowardly to do anything. And what happened? The mom post in 2022, our twin daughters came to us and told us they don't feel like the genders they were given from were truly them. She goes on, our son told us he was transgender and our other child told us they didn't feel like a boy or girl. All the kids appear to be girls, by the way, all under age 12. So she takes them all to get a haircut, emotional music rises and celebrations. Ya, 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 ya. This is fucking child abuse. This is fucking child abuse. I don't give a fuck what party you are. Under 12, you don't even fucking know where your dick is. I didn't find mine to 13. Just saying. So here is the video from my mother who transitioned four fucking kids.
Built out of stone, wooden floors, walls, and window sills, tables and chairs warmed by all of the dust. This is a place where I don't feel.
That's child abuse, yo. Child abuse. So the kids that actually did the climate activists are going to get charged. Destruction of government property. They won't do time, though, because liberals. You crazy? Left-wing Berkeley students form violent mob and attack Jewish speaker. Insane details from the anti-Semitic Berkeley mob this week. One Jewish girl was choked and rioters spit in the face of another Jewish student while shouting, Jew, Jew, Jew. Berkeley was already facing a lawsuit for the unchecked anti-Semitism on campus. There are actual pictures. That's her neck. You can clearly see bruises because she was choked for being Jewish. That's nice. That's fucking nice. So Doritos decided, let's go woke. Let's go woke. Just in, Dorito fires transgender activist Samantha Hudson just 2 days after hiring them. And this is what that did.
Ser perfecta no es fácil, pero te acabas acostumbrando.
No soy nada de eso. O sea,
eres
fatal.
Perfecta.
No, no soy perfecta. Estoy súper orgullosa de mí, de ser totalmente quien yo soy y no oprimirme por nada del mundo.
¿Te pasa mucho que te toman por el pito del sereno?
Siempre. He estado en clases, he estado en charlas y a mis profesores directamente ni me han escuchado. Me han dicho directamente que no me metan física porque es una carrera muy difícil y hay muchos tíos.
¿Te has enfrentado como a más descalificaciones en las redes sociales que en tu día a día?
Sí.
Es que yo creo
claro,
que la gente la en persona...
Tía. No
en
van a decirte
no
nada.
No se pueden hacer nada.
Total.
¿Un consejito?
Yo el consejito que le voy a dar a todo el mundo siempre y que es el que yo me llevo aplicando siempre es que seas tú.
It's potato chips, dude. I mean, it's corn chips. You don't need to be woke. You just make them with flavors. We love them. Everybody buys them. Gay people, black people, Martians would come here and eat your shit. Well, not your little shit, but eat your product. What the fuck? WPATH! Schellenberger, just so we're all clear, a few things. I spent the last 6 months working on this report, and I'm the sole author, but the whole project wouldn't have been possible without the steadfast and unwavering support of Michael Schellenberger. Advocates of gender-affirming care say it's evidence-based, but now newly released internal files from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health prove that the practice of transgender medicine is neither scientific nor medical. Why am I publishing WPATH files and how I got them? The written WPATH files came from WPATH member discussing forum, which runs on software provided by DocMatter. 90 seconds of the 82-minute video was made public last year. We are making the full video available for you. Part one, we're explaining things to people who haven't even had a biology in high school. I think things you have to remember about kids is that we are often explaining these sort of things to people who haven't had biology in high school. And this is fucking in-depth shit. We're going to cover it. Next one, because this one, we're going to start with that. That thing is fucking, it's huge. It's going to be huge. So fucking huge. So next we're going to have, because this administration, this is all they fucking do. I don't understand. I can't get, I just don't get it. What the fucking fuck? I didn't even know this is a fucking position, but it is. I can get my cursor to fucking work. Special envoy, U.S. special envoy, advanced human rights, LGBTQ plus person. We're paying that person more money than you.
I will keep my remarks very brief to allow as much time as possible for everyone to have an opportunity to engage and ask questions. I want to extend my sincere appreciation to Special Envoy Stern for taking the time to provide this public briefing. As you might know, I'm the proud sister of a trans brother and a gender nonconforming sibling, so the issues facing the LGBTQ plus community have always been really close to my heart. On February 4th, 2021, the Biden administration announced commitments to advancing the human rights of LGBTQI plus persons around the world, building upon the historic 2011 Obama administration memo, which directed departments and agencies engaged abroad to ensure that U.S. diplomacy and foreign assistance promote and protect the human rights of LGBTQI plus persons everywhere. A little over 1 year later, we've seen the administration make progress to uphold these commitments, including updates to deficiencies within the Department of State human rights reporting, the appointment of Special Envoy Stern, an end to a policy that denied American citizenship to the children of same-sex couples born abroad, and more. And these achievements have come at a moment in history where we are seeing the human rights of LGBTQI plus persons and even children and their families being aggressively targeted and diminished simply for being who they are, not only abroad, but also right here in many states across America. And I want to briefly address Ukraine. The rights and safety of LGBTQI plus individuals, particularly trans individuals, are under threat right now.
They're often targets of violence, which is especially the case in a war zone with an invading force that is particularly intolerant towards the LGBTQI plus community. We're also hearing how difficult it has been for trans individuals to leave Ukraine for fear of safety and harassment. So I call on the United States to work with Ukraine and neighboring countries to do everything we can to ensure safe passage right now. Our work is far from over, and we still have much further to go in protecting the human rights of LGBTQI plus persons and securing those rights for generations to come. I look forward to hearing Special Envoy Stern's updates on progress on these issues and how the United States can lead the way. So first, I will turn to Representative.
Very nice. That's what we need to spread in the world. People chopping off their cocks. Yeah, okay. Sounds good to me. Fucking people are fucking insane. Then it brings us to a social commentary. We're going to play this video. I'm just going to play it. I'm not going to put it in the vid program because sometimes it works. No, fuck it. Let's see if I can get this damn thing to work. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it does not work. So let's fucking pull it up. This, I have never seen this one. And let's be honest. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. Browse. Three blind mice, maybe. Let me find the file. I know I'm doing it live, and you're like, geez, this is so entertaining, Tony. Thank you for humming three blind mice or whatever the fuck you're doing. Okay, here we go. Boom.
How old are you?
26.
22.
How long you been together?
2 years.
That's kind of bullshit.
If she gave you a guilt-free pass to sleep with anybody, would you take it?
No, sir.
All right, I'm gonna TikTok. So for background, I've been going through a lot of Reddit stuff, and the biggest thing that's going on in our country right now, and we've touched it a few fucking times, is open marriages. It's huge. It's fucking everywhere. They're saying 20% of the population is now doing it. And when you read it with Palomore and all this crazy shit they do, folks, it isn't good. I gotta go backwards. Something fucking happened. I thought I had the slides for this. Yep. There we go. There we go. I don't know what happened. All right. Open marriage divorce statistics. So 20% of our country is now open marriage.
How old are you?
91% of open marriages end up in divorce. And I read stories all day, people getting advice. Did I do this wrong? Did I lose my, should I? And they all, it's like a cult. I mean, when your person comes on and says, I want to start being an open relationship, they get a kit. They send them to a thread and they have all this information. And it is, you know, how to have a successful open marriage. A law firm has an article on it. Is an open marriage healthy? Open marriages can be healthy. Better communication. Open marriage requires constant line of communication. Excitement and passion because you're cheating and fucking other people and spreading disease. It's a great idea. More trust. Feeling comfortable with your partner being with someone else shows that you have a high level of trust. Less jealousy. It's often assumed that open relationships would come with a lot of jealousy, but in a lot of cases, it's actually the contrary. People on board with an open relationship are more likely to experience what's known as compersion, which is happiness for seeing their partner happy. People in open marriage report the following benefits: more wants and needs fulfilled, freedom of expression, less pressure to fulfill all their spouse's needs, greater appreciation for your spouse. What percent of open marriages end in divorce? This thing says very little. It's much data published, but what we know suggests that it's similar to monogamous. Rules. Don't opt in for the wrong reasons. Prioritize your marriage. Don't let jealousy build. Discuss safe sex. Maintain open communication. Agree on how you explain your situation to outsiders. Set sexual boundaries. Get emotional boundaries. It's sometimes hard to separate sex and intimacy. Yeah, no shit, because intimacy is sex. Having emotional boundaries is just as important as the sexual ones and can spare you the hurt caused when overstepping. Determine your level of comfort with these things, like sleeping with the same person and going on dates. Can you spend time with them socially? Make sure you set rules for who you can and cannot be with. Can they be someone you know, you both know? Have regular check-ins. Part of being an honest conversation with your spouse is having regular check-ins and taking the pulse of the relationship. Don't forget consent. Open marriage is a type of consensual non-monogamy. Consent is what sets open marriage. And show respect to everybody. Folks, the things I read. I've read some that I almost wept, and I sent messages to the guy. And it was the same as that article we covered a couple months. His wife wanted it. He didn't, but he loved his wife, so we went along with it. Now she's fucking everybody and coming home and telling him how great my marriage is because she got the kit. You need to talk about this. And so he made me come so great. You need to do the same thing. He taught me. Oh, my God. All the different types of men treating their wives less than, but mostly women treating their men as cucks in public, in front of people. They use it because they think, 9 times out of 10, it's some dude who's not getting laid. So he decides to do this with his wife and says, you can do whatever the fuck you want, babe. I'll do what I want. We'll still be married. It'll be great. We'll still be in love, yada, yada, yada. And then the woman gets in there and it's more open for guys. There's more guys don't give a fuck. Women do care. So a lot of women aren't going to have sex with somebody who's married. Guys don't fucking care. So the wife is getting all this play. She's going out all the time. And eventually the husband gets jealous. This was your idea. Jealous. Yeah, fuck it. This guy's better. And they divorce him. The wife does. All these stories. I haven't found one that says, oh, my open marriage is great. So I saw this and it was all over fucking YouTube. We got problems.
How old are you?
26.
22.
How long you been together?
Two years.
If she gave you a guilt-free pass to sleep with anybody, would you take it?
No, sir. You might get one pass, but at the end of the day, you want one wife. And this is the wife I want. So no.
Okay. Now what about you if he gave you one?
If he gave me a guilt-free pass, I would take it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Sorry.
That's crazy.
Who would you take it with?
Lindy Waters III.
Don't even know who that is. That's our problem. Yep. Yep.
Who else?
Barry Sanders. I'm in love with him.
Now, what do you think those men have over your men?
They're professional athletes.
That's crazy. Hey.
Black or white?
One is Native American and one's black.
But do you think that any of those guys would go for you?
Junior would.
That's crazy. Hey, at the end of the day, it's whatever. Whatever. At the end of the day, I don't care.
How old are you?
26.
That young man got crushed. Got crushed. Here he is in love with a girl, and she's like, nope, I don't want you. I want some African-American dude, which is saying that he is not good in bed to the world. She got fucking hammered. People hammered the shit out of her for being that way. But that's how they all are. If you read this stuff, it is insane the amount of cheating women. Are the predators now? The men are the prey? It is a weird society out there. And I remember telling my son, it's really important you get married. You need a partner. Then I read all this shit and I go, fuck me, man. No wonder. Because every time he went on a date, the girl would lie. And then it would be, what do you want to call us? You know, they go on like 3 or 4 dates. They start, she kisses him. Palomori. Open relationship. You'd be my, I don't know, paramour, my second person. And she lived with somebody, a nesting partner. And they're all doing it because they say, well, I have the freedom to have sex with whoever the fuck I want. That sounds all great. But it's impossible unless you're a performer, like a sex worker, like all those OnlyFans girls and all that shit. They're performing. They're getting paid money. They go in there and they're into sex work. It's a totally different thing than just being normal. And they all say they're normal. It's national bullshit. It's all staged. The filming's staged. I did an interview of a lady a while back and was in a pharmacy. And I went to hers, and she does that. She cucks her husband, all that kind of crap. So he had free videos, and I looked. It was all staged. None of it was real. It wasn't like two people having sex. It was they paused, moved position. It was a porn. They shot porn. And I was shocked because the girl was, like, normal looking. Like, you wouldn't think. Girl next door look. But she needed money, so they went that route, and they've all heard that, you know, OnlyFans can make you $1 million a year. So everybody thinks it's no different than every one of us who sit there and put out a, well, it is different. They're having sex with somebody. But, you know, you put out something online, you think it's all prophetic. I'm going to get 1 million views. Like this thing. Sidewalk conversation with a castaway. It's everywhere. People are, everybody's seen that video. But it shows the sign of our moral decline. We, as a society, don't value each other. We think everything's disposable. And we worry more about this kind of shit. So Vice President Kamala talked about DEI.
We are proudly talking about equity, even though these people on the, you know, so-called leaders want to shut down DEI. They're trying to do with DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, what they sadly successfully did with woke.
Well, you've heard the words diversity, equity, and inclusion over and over and over. DEI, you hear it from the White House. You hear it from your corporation. You hear it from the media. And this standard, diversity, equity, and inclusion, according to Joe Biden's White House, has been infused in every aspect of American government. Now, what exactly does any of that mean? We've talked about it at length on the show before. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is essentially critical race theory boiled down to a friendlier piece of corporate boilerplate. Essentially, what it argues is that if you have a situation in which one demographic group is underrepresented in any particular industry or job, that must be the result of some sort of systemic discrimination or racism. So, for example, if you don't have enough, say, black surgeons, that is because the surgical system itself discriminates against black people, because in the sort of vision of Ibram X. Kendi, either everyone is equal in every possible way, which means that therefore everyone should be equally represented in every industry, or everyone is unequal, which means that you are a racist. Now, there is a sort of halfway point between those two positions, which happens to be the truth, that people of all races and all individuality differ in their genetics. They differ in their environments. They differ in their culture, that all individuals are different. And that means that when you take a look at group averages, there are very few examples actually across all of humanity in which group averages are completely identical. But we have to ignore that in favor of this DEI proposition. Why? Because DEI is a gun pointed directly at the heart of the meritocracy. The meritocracy suggests that there should be objective metrics by which we succeed or fail. And the good news about meritocracy is that it means that if you succeed, it's because you are doing something better than someone else, which means that it's better for everyone else. The DEI idea innately means that people who are unqualified are going to advance in life by dint of the fact that they are considered a part of a victimized group. Now, why does this matter? It matters in pretty much every industry. It matters at universities, where you've seen, for example, Asian Americans discriminated against because they are too high achieving in favor of people from other groups who have lower test scores. You've seen it in the government, where you see people completely unqualified for particular offices appointed to those offices so as to establish some form of social justice. And now we see it in medicine. So one of our producers, excellent researcher and producer Greg Ray, he helped us put this together. And it's an amazing, amazing story. DEI is not just present when it comes to your corporate hiring practices. It is also present in medicine. And that should frighten the living hell out of everyone, because all you care about when you go into the doctor is my doctor good at the medicining? Is my doctor good at taking care of me and making sure that I am healthy? I mean, this is an area where meritocracy should be the only thing that counts. Is my doctor likely to fix me, or is my doctor bad at that job and got appointed because of extraneous merits? And it wouldn't matter what those extraneous merits are, whether they're intersectional or whether it's nepotism. That doesn't matter. All you care about when you get into that surgical bed is that the person operating on you should be good at that job. But surgery is now being impacted by DEI. Apparently, sources at Wake Forest Medical School are about to graduate Kaishal Dil Rosario, She's a med student who injured a conservative patient and then bragged about it. Here's what she tweeted. This is back in March of 2022. Quote, I had a patient I was doing a blood draw on, see my pronoun pin, and laugh loudly to the staff. She, her? Well, of course it is. What other pronouns are there? It? I missed his vein, so he had to get stuck twice. Snorting laughing emoji. Now, that, of course, is an insane tweet. The idea being that if somebody disagrees with you politically, then you make them actually suffer because you are in the position of the doctor. Now, as our sources tell us, Wake Forest allowed Rosario to lay low and take a voluntary leave of absence when this scandal originally broke. And she was not actually expelled or suspended. And in fact, no apology was issued. Wake Forest went into full denial mode over all of this. Also, UPenn Health has hired Ewan Liu, who is Del Rosario's classmate, who also tweeted that it seemed, quote, karmatic when she injured the patient who mocked her pronoun pin. Wake Forest then showered Liu with awards for excellence in patient care. She now focuses on LGBTQ plus health. Here's what she tweeted at the time, quote, heard this story firsthand weeks ago, and it seems like people are misinterpreting, understandably, from the phrasing. To clarify, the misstick was completely an accident and just seemed, quote unquote, karmatic. She is kind and professional and would never harm anyone intentionally. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, I've been talking about my Helix sleep mattress for years. I've had that Helix sleep mattress for, I don't know, almost a decade. It's great because it was made just for me. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Every night when I get into bed, I'm reminded how great they are. If you haven't already checked out the Helix Elite Collection, you need to. Helix harnesses years of extensive mattress expertise to offer a truly elevated sleep experience. That Helix Elite Collection includes six different mattress models, each tailored for specific sleep positions and firmness preferences. If you're nervous about buying a mattress online, well, you don't have to be. Helix has a sleep quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? I took that Helix quiz. I was matched with a firm but breathable mattress, which of course has been serving me well for like a decade at this point. Plus, Helix has a 10-year warranty. You can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Go check them out right now. Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders plus two free pillows for my listeners. Head on over to helixsleep.com/Ben. Use code HELIXPARTNER25. It's their best offer yet. It's not going to last long with Helix. Better sleep starts right now. So first of all, the basic idea that medical error is rooted in karma, that you quote unquote deserve it if there is a medical error upon you because you have the wrong belief system, like say you believe in the actual scientific fact that there are men and there are women, that is a serious, serious problem. Also, according to our sources, both UPenn and Liu's Medical School, Wake Forest, they've attempted to hide Liu's hiring. Wake Forest didn't actually list Liu's hospital in graduation materials. Penn does not list Liu's Medical School on its website. Now, again, all of this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? This is one basic situation which no apology was issued for a bad tweet. You could theoretically imagine a situation in which these students, they said something dumb, but now they apologize for it because they realized that it was wrong to say it. But that's not actually what happened. And the bigger problem, of course, is that this sort of perspective, which is that left-wing social views or intersectional qualities make you a better doctor, this has become a widespread perspective in the field of surgery. So let's talk about an award-winning Duke surgical resident named Vignesh Raman. At an internal DEI lecture, Raman actually said that his heart sinks when he has patients who watch Fox News or wear MAGA hats. Here's what he had to say.
You know, the thing is, we are in the South, right? And unlike a lot of the like hospitals in the Northeast or in the West, we serve a very Southern population. This is not a VIP hospital. People are not like flying in from Qatar to get treated here. We treat patients who are just from the community in the South. And yes, my heart sinks every time I go into a room and I watch them watching Fox News, or they have a MAGA hat on, or they're wearing a Confederate belt, right? These are the patients that we treat. But Geraldine, I will say that the one very good thing about the South that I enjoy is exactly what I alluded to earlier, is that we don't treat VIPs. We treat people from our community. And our community, as Auri explained, is majority non-white. And it is wonderful to treat such a diverse group of people in every regard. And that's not an experience that I had in my sabais in other places, or that my friends have training in other programs.
First of all, diverse meaning non-white is an amazingly euphemistic statement. Diverse usually means, you know, a broad diversity of people. But now, of course, diversity means not white people. So first of all, when you have surgical residents who have won awards talking about their hearts sinking when they see somebody of a different political perspective, that should put up your radar a little bit. But that's not the bad part. The bad part is what Rahman says next. So according to Rahman, he says that post-George Floyd, Duke actually made a concerted effort to stop hiring so many, quote unquote, walls of white men, and that the team even learned to abandon particular metrics and adopt holistic application practices so as to recruit more women and more Latinx surgeons. Here's Vignesh Rahman.
2020 and George Floyd and those events happened and sort of collectively galvanized the consciousness of Duke University and certainly our department to try to do something, and recognizing this like centuries long history of racism and slavery in which Duke University essentially was founded, on which it was founded. And that's when we sort of had to confront the history of the institution, the history of our department, the walls of white men that are draped across our hallways. And that's when we started to think that maybe something should change. Something should change within ourselves in who comprises this department, in terms of the faculty, in terms of the residents, significant inequity in representation in our program. And it's something that we've been consciously, deliberately working hard to change over the last several years. Some of the things that we have done, in addition to what Lillian presented, I think the most important thing we've done is really systemic changes to our recruitment process to try to recruit diverse residents to our program, and then to retain and support those diverse residents after they get to our program. So part of this has involved transitioning to completely holistic review process that we spoke about earlier today, abandoning, you know, all sort of metrics and screens, looking at people's life story and what brought them into surgery. And then the other part of it is increasing the diversity of the people who read the applications. Right, because that's an important component of ensuring that we get diverse residents into our program. And then once residents get here, how do we support them?
So just to get that straight, he's literally saying that we are ignoring metrics in order to look at the life story of your surgeon. Now, I just have a question for you. You go in for an open heart surgery because God forbid you got a blockage in your artery. Do you ask for the surgeon's life story? Do you care about the surgeon's life story? Should you care about the surgeon's life story? Or do you care a lot more about whether this doctor has a good track record of making sure that people who require a bypass actually get the bypass they need without dying on the table? It is insane for surgical residencies to take a look at people based on their life story as opposed to objective metrics of success. It's totally crazy. It's totally, by the way, this same person has also tweeted that he won't, quote unquote, amplify medical literature involving only white men. He tweeted out, this is July of 2020, quote, I would say even for academic publications, I don't want to amplify the work of white men who only collaborate with other white men. Well, there go most of the modern medical advances in human history. Like, seriously? You're not going to actually take a look at the academic publications of white men working with other white men? Okay, first of all, that's racism. Second of all, these are the areas where merit matters most. And of course, again, even this guy is only one example of a bigger trend. This guy is the tip of the iceberg. The American College of Surgeons, the ACS, gave its 88,000 members, for example, a definition of racism that says it is literally impossible to be racist against white people. Here's what they said, quote, racism is the marginalization and or oppression of people of color based on a socially constructed racial hierarchy that privileges white people. Racism involves one group having the power to carry out systematic discrimination through the institutional policies and practices of the society, and by shaping the cultural beliefs and values that support those racist policies and practices. That is the Ibram X. Kendi definition of racism. Racism is not just discrimination against a race. It is power plus discrimination against the race. And the only people we can ever deem to be powerful are white men, which means that being racist against white people is totally fine. Not only is it fine, it is a corrective mechanism. So barring, for example, white men from getting into top-level surgical residencies as a corrective mechanism is somehow good now. And you put that pressure all the way down the system, and what you're ending up with is fewer qualified people who are entering the system and more unqualified people going to top medical schools. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, can you believe St. Patrick's Day is almost here? Recently, a lot of businesses have have had little luck hiring top quality employees. Fortunately, if you are a business owner or hiring manager, you don't need luck to find top talent for your team. You need ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter's brilliant technology leads you to that pot of gold for top talent. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology shows you qualified candidates. Once you review your list of qualified candidates, you can easily invite your top choices to apply, so they will likely apply sooner and you will fill that role faster. ZipRecruiter can help you. Today is your lucky day because you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire and hire the way that we do. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within day one. Once again, just go to this exclusive web address and try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Hire the smart way with ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire and try them out for free. That same American College of Surgeons invited a person named Madeline Torres to explain to its members that when patients see physicians who look like them, they tend to do better, and suggested that grants and awards be distributed to surgeons on the basis of their intersectionality.
Where we're seeing evidence that diversity leads to improved outcomes with our patients. We know that a lot of data that when patients see physicians that look like them, they tend to do better. They tend to have better compliance, their outcomes are better. And medicine has really lagged behind in a sense on representing the population that we served. So for example, the Association of Women Surgeons has a partner with the Latino Surgical Society and created liaison positions so that we have a word or say at the table in terms of what kind of what's important for our membership. Association for Academic Surgery does that, SAGES does that, SAT is doing that. The other thing that they're focused on, which I think is phenomenal, is they have developed grants and awards specifically for underrepresented minorities.
Again, these sorts of happy-talking, nonsensical phraseologies, all of this stuff is one thing in the synergistic corporate boardroom. It is another thing when you are talking about the surgical room. There's a recent conference on DEI at Penn, where Ewan Liu now works. One surgeon explained that it was off-putting that so many surgeons were quote-unquote white men.
You know, it's, I think, surgery in general has been, you know, a predominantly white and male dominated field, and that can be very off-putting and intimidating for somebody. And I, you know, unfortunately, I think we've probably lost, you know, many.
Which brings us to our This Is America. The world is garbage. Everything's messed up. But let's be honest. The most important thing we can have is wokeness in our military.
This is America.
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against.
I don't even know what to say to that shit. I just don't know what to say to that. If that's the most important thing we got going on in our military, we're gonna get our asses fucking kicked. That's all they talk about. That's all the military talks about. Race relations, DEI, wokeness, it's all they talk about. It's a fucked up world out there. You need to get your shit wired tight. So let's go to our lighter fare. These guys are called Small Town Titans, and they do this product barcode. Can you riff it? It's so fucking badass.
Will it riff? Starbucks.
Starbucks!
And that wraps up another episode of Flyover Politic Podcast. Share with family and friends. Go to Flyover Politic with K on SoundCloud, Rumble. You can see the video at 482-467. Gmail, foppodcast@gmail.com for email. And Old Dude Music Review is also on SoundCloud and on Rumble at 553-2123. So today we listened to some really interesting things. The media really worried that the border and crime would be used as a political thing, but they use everything as a political thing. We had some hypocrisy on a level that you just can't, you can't find usually. I mean, it's really extra level hypocrisy going on in our country by our media. And we, the people, need to fucking do something about it. To be quite honest, easiest thing in the world, stop watching them. If we all stop watching, we don't have the problems anymore. Maybe we'll get media that actually reaches out to everybody and just reports the fucking facts. Because right now, everything is shades of gray on every subject. And we're going into another election that you're going to be told what the left is doing to the president. Candidate from the right is saving democracy. When they did it in 2016 and he won, they were breaking every rule in the book to stop him. They're doing it again. He's a piece of shit. But who's the bigger fascist? An orange man that democracy blocks from doing everything because the left will stop him for fucking flushing a toilet? Or is it the left who is rigging elections by trying to kick everybody that can win from the right off the ballot? Who's worse? Who's third world? Is it the right or the left? As an independent, I see the left right now, and there's some fascist motherfuckers over there. They talk some stuff that I've only heard in foreign countries, but we're doing it here. Nobody's accountable. Nobody answers questions. They do everything in the dark of night. They fucking suck. I hate both parties, but for me, I'd vote for Daffy Duck now over anybody. Put Daffy Duck on there. I might actually vote independent. Are there any independent candidates? I'll just vote for the Green Party or some shit. Because this is fucking stupid. Both of these guys suck ass. They don't stand for anything. We're going to go back to the same old bullshit. We're going to argue about the border, fucking abortion, call each other names, not do anything to improve this country. And us normals out here, life is not easy. I'm unemployed. I've been applying like crazy, but nobody wants to hire a 56-year-old dude. So I'm living on my pension. Had to buy a car with a pension. Can't believe it worked, but I have good credit, so it did. I had to do it, no choice. I know, fuck car. Car was breaking. In the end, I'm lucky. At least I have a pension. There are people that don't have shit. And that's scary. So, as always, disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah-yeahs. And tune back in on, we're going to go the 9th of March, year of our Lord, 2024. And then Friday the 8th, we're going to do an Old Dude Music Review. I don't even know what I'm doing yet. I'll find something. But thanks for listening. Take care.